It's a very familiar story in the gospel. Jesus takes his three closest friends and the leaders of the apostles, Peter, James, and John, out to a high place, a secluded place to pray. And while Jesus prays, scriptures tell us that the three apostles fell asleep. But while they were asleep, Jesus' appearance changes dramatically, and the heavenly person joins him. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Some of you might have noticed that I said Christ was joined by a heavenly person, singular, not persons. Because I wasn't speaking about the appearance of Moses and Elijah in today's gospel. I'm not talking about the transfiguration. I'm talking about another event that happened a few weeks later in the life of Jesus, what we call the agony in the garden on the night he was betrayed. These two events in the life of Jesus really happened, but as the Gospels present them, they almost seem to be mirror images of each other. Very, very similar, but backward. And this shows how the two events are essentially connected to each other. But at the same time, as the similarities show their connection, their differences show us the deeper meaning behind both events. In the agony of the garden, Jesus' face doesn't turn dazzling white, but instead, St. Luke tells us that it became soaked with sweat, so much so that he says that the sweat fell from his face like blood. In fact, it may be that he was actually bleeding from stress, which is a medical phenomenon. And on Mount Tabor, Peter is overwhelmed with joy and he doesn't want to leave as he asks Jesus if they can set up three booths for them, for Moses and Elijah and Jesus, because he says, "It is good that we are here, so let's stay, let's camp out." But in the agony in the garden, as the guards come to arrest Jesus, Peter and the others don't want to stay, they want to run away. And they do. And just a few hours later, a woman points to Peter and says, "This man was with Jesus." And Peter again denies Jesus and then again runs away. At the transfiguration on Mount Tabor, a voice comes from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." But a few hours after the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, which was, by the way, on Mount Olivet, a few hours later, afterwards, Jesus tells the Sanhedrin in his trial, If I tell you an answer to your question, you will not believe me. In other words, I'll tell you, but you will not listen. This is my beloved son, listen to him. Most of us spend a lot of our time trying to be like God. Now, sometimes this is in a good way, and sometimes this is in a bad way. The good way is when we try to imitate Jesus, when we try to be like him, trying to live the relationship with his Father, the relationship of love, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength as Jesus loved his Father, and to love our neighbor as Jesus loves us. That's the good way of imitating Jesus. But the bad way of trying to imitate Jesus is when we strive for our own personal glory, when we try to make us ourselves the center of the universe instead of Jesus the center of the universe. When we try sort of in our minds to see ourselves as standing on top of that mountain transfigured in glory instead of Jesus transfigured in glory. But the thing is, as much as we might like to glorify ourselves, light does not stream from your face. And Moses and Aaron don't appear on either side of you to talk about your mission to save the world. You and I, as much as we might try, we are not God. But the true wonder of the transfiguration, the agony, in fact, the true wonder of the whole life of Jesus, is that even though light did stream from his face, he chose to hide that glory. choosing to be like us in all things but sin, even to the point of suffering for our sins, enduring every kind of torture and humiliation, and even death because he loved us. It was the same Jesus who spoke calmly to Moses and Elijah at the Transfiguration as the Jesus to whom the angel came to comfort in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was the same Jesus who spoke to Moses and Elijah about his mission in Jerusalem as the same Jesus who prayed in the garden that the cup would pass from him, but not his will, but his Father's be done. It was the same Jesus whose face shone with heavenly glory as the Jesus whose face was drenched with sweat and blood in the garden. To be like God, we must be like God's Son, who became like one of us in all things but sin. We must, out of love for him, not seek worldly glory, but rather seek to find the true glory of Christ by conforming ourselves to his will for us, truly becoming like him, following him, and in that enduring whatever suffering we have to endure with patience and love, even when it means loving those who hate us and persecute us, even as Jesus did on the cross. Last Sunday, we read how at Mass about how Jesus went out into the desert for 40 days to prepare himself for his public ministry. Just as we try to imitate him by joining him in our own 40 days of preparation for his death and resurrection, we look to these two crucial events in Christ's last weeks on earth, the Transfiguration and the agony. And as we do, he instructs us a little further in understanding how we can be like him. He tells us to go to him to a special place, to be with him. A high place close to heaven, like Mount Tabor or the Mount of Olives. He tells us to talk and pray about his passage to Jerusalem, to meditate on the cup he must drink from, his agony and death and his glory, his death and his resurrection. He tells us to place ourselves in the company of the church with Moses and Elijah and Peter and James and John and all the angels and saints. First of all, by listening to their prophetic words in sacred scripture, but also by uniting ourselves with them in prayer. And he tells us to place ourselves also in the company of the church on earth, with the successors of Moses and the apostles, our bishops and priests, and with our brothers and sisters in this building and throughout the world. And in this place, with these people, he calls us to pray to him and with him and in him to his heavenly Father. In short, what I just described is he calls us to Holy Mass. Today, in this Mass, we celebrate these mysteries and we carry out Jesus' instruction in a most profound way. We come away with him to a heavenly place, this sacred place consecrated to heaven. We come together in communion with the angels and saints, in the communion with our brothers and sisters all throughout the world and here in this congregation. And as we offer the prayers and sacrifice of the Mass to our Father in heaven, through Christ and with him and in him, we enter the mysterious real presence of his agony, death, and resurrection. The crucified and glorious body of Jesus on the altar. And in the light of this Eucharist, we see the world in a new light, the very light that shines from the face of Jesus in the Transfiguration. And we see that in the agony of life, we can find the hidden glory of Christ's death and resurrection. And when we fall asleep in faith, we remember that he remains constant in prayer for us before his Father. And in our lack of faith, when we do not believe, God still calls us as he did 2,000 years ago. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. And when we deny him, in the times we walk away from him, We see that it is so much better to remain with him always. We know and we believe and we understand that it is good for us to be here. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.